Today's daf is Shabbos daf Lamed Dalet. We are holding on daf Lamed Gimel and Beis. We were just finishing up the story with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and we got to the point where Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was able to come out of the cave, and he and Rabbi Lazar were no longer destroying anything. And now we are holding at five lines before the end of the page, last word on the line. Va'amar holvis rachish nisa ezel iskin milsa. So he said, since a nace happened to me, I should go and do something for the betterment of society, because we have precedent for such behavior after experiencing a nace in by our avos. Tchsiv vayavol Yaakov shalem. The pasuk says that Yaakov came shalem. Va'amar rav shalem begufo, shalem bemamono, shalem b'tarasa. That Yaakov coming shalem meant that he was shalem. Thank you very much. That's amazing. He was shalem in his physical well-being, shalem in his mamon, and shalem in his Torah. If anyone needs an extra flashlight now that I have this light, no, okay. So shalem b'tarasa, he was shalem in all in all three areas. So because he came out shalem in all three areas, vayichan es p'nei ha'ir. So what does that mean? Vayichan es p'nei ha'ir. Amar Rav matbeya tikein lahem. So different possibilities of what he did for the betterment of society. Either he established some sort of currency for them. Ushmuel amar shvakim tikein lahem. He set up marketplaces for them. Rabbi Yochanan amar chatzos tikein lahem. He set up bathhouses for them. So that was Yaakov Avinu's reaction when he came out shalem. There's an interesting part of Yosef Nechem Yekornitzer in his commentary on the Torah. Says that where do you see from the word Vayavo Yaakov Shalem that it was Begufo Bimamono Ubitaraso? So he says there's a well-known medrash. This medrash happens to not exist, but it is one of the most well-known medrashim that people always repeat. Is that Klal Yisrael was Nigal from Mitzrayim because Shaloshinu Hashemam Malbusham Vilashonam. That the three things we didn't change are our names, our clothing, and our language. So he says Shalem is a Rashi Tevis of Shmam, our shame. Lamed is Lashonam and Mem is Malbusham. Those are the three things that if a Jew wants to be able to survive a difficult situation, he has to be able to retain those three elements of Jewish identity. So Rav Yosef Nechemia suggests that it's a Mida Keneged Mida, that if a person is Loshina as Malbusham. So he says the Malbush, the Guf is often described as the Malbush of the Neshama. It's the clothing around the Neshama. And the zchus of not changing his malbush, so then his guf will come out intact. When the lamed is lashonam, person doesn't change his lashon. Person is careful what he uses his mouth for, and the way he uses his mouth, the purity and the holiness of how he uses his mouth. So then he's going to be zochet to have Torah come out of his mouth in a very pure and holy way. And the third way is that shaloshinu hashemam, that in being able to enjoy money, being able to benefit from one's money, being able to feel shalem in one's money is not dependent on how much a person has. It's more dependent on a person's attitude toward that money. If a person remembers that he's still the same guy that he used to be when he was less fortunate, when he had less, and now he has a little more, he'll be much more equipped to appreciate the increased bracha. So that's how he sees the mida keneged mida and the three elements of shalem, the mamon, the gufo, the taraso. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says similarly, he wants to do something similar to what Yaakov Avinu did. Yes, but every society has different needs. Every society is going to require something else. So to mint coins is not what Klal Yisrael needed at the time, or to set up marketplaces is not what they needed. We just went through how the Romans said the whole story started because the Romans set up marketplaces already. They were already that was already taken care of. So Amar Ika Milsa Debay Litzkune. So he said, is there anything that I could be misakin? Is there anything that needs fixing? Amrulei Ika Duchta Di Ispe Safik Tuma. So they said that there is a place that has Safik Tuma the Islu Tzar LeKohanim LaKufei, and it's become very difficult for the Kohanim to continually get around that area. So Amar Ika Inish Diadidis Chazak Hachatara. So he said, okay, let's get started on this process. First thing is, do we know of any place in this area where there is a Cheskas Tara that we could at least use as a starting point, or there ever was a Cheskas Tara that we could use as a starting point? Samle Ahu Ahu Saba, there was a certain old man that said, Kan Kitzet Ben Zakai Trumasi Truma, that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai used to deal with Truma in this area. So if he used to deal truma in this area, obviously he wasn't metame truma. Tanisa daraisa to be metame truma. Plus Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was a kohen, but tanisa daraisa to be metame truma. So obviously, at least back to the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, or back in the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we know that this place must have been becheskas taro. Whatever tuma came upon this place must have happened later on. So avid ihu nami hachi. So he did the same as well. What does that mean? So in this instance, we have Machlokes Rashi Tosos. Tosos gives the much more pashut pshat. Tosos writes Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam Kmo Yaakov Avinu V'Tikein Milsa. The Rabbi Shmuel Yochai said, "Okay, now I have what to be Masakin. I could figure this out." And he was Masakin something. Rashi writes Avidi Unami Hachi in the name of a Yerushalmi. Rashi says Hayimakatzeitz Tormasin Umashlichan Sham. That just like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was cutting Tormasin, some type of truma, fruit or vegetable, he too, Rabbi Shmuel Yochai, did the same. Vinasa neis v'tzaf ha-meis b'makom shu sham. And a miracle happened, and the mace floated on that spot where he was. V'tzinu l'makom ha-kever. And they marked off the place of the kever. Hachin farsh b'psikta d'parsh z'omer b'seid ezram Yerushalmi. Says that's what it says in Yerushalmi, that avidiyu nami hachi, that he did some sort of a miraculous way of identifying where the dead body was. Kol heichad avi, by doing the same thing Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had done. Kol heichad avi kashi tiare. Any place that had hard ground, he was Metaher, because if it had hard ground, it meant that it was virgin soil. It was never dug in before, and if no one had ever dug there, then you know there aren't any mesim buried underground. V'kal hecha dava rafi tzine, and any place that had soft ground, he was mitzayin that must have been a kever over there, because that's why the ground was soft, because someone had dug right into that ground so that they could bury somebody. This comes up as well in Maseches Nida. Tosos points out in the second Tosos on the page, Kedisa beneath this concept of the hard ground being a simen, that it was never, that no one had ever buried anybody there. The Gemara Nida says in Perikah Isha, Titania Amar Rabbi Yossi ben Shaul, Maisa Besela Shoyu Machzikim Batuma, Amalu Havili Sadinin, that when they had an area of hard ground, that they were Machzik Tuma in the area, so the way they checked it was they brought sheets, Havilu Vasharim Bemaim, they soaked the sheets in water, Uparsu Alav, Makum Tumalach, Makum Tara Naguv, and they spread the moist sheets over the area, and they tried to just see if the ground absorbed the moisture from the sheets or not, and that was the simon of whether it had been, of whether that ground had ever been aggravated previously. So that's the same idea of a hard ground being something that was never dealt with before. Softer ground, someone had obviously dug in that area. Amar Husaba. So now that old man who had reported what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had done now says Tir ben Yochai. What Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had done, says, look what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai just did. He was metayer beis hakvaros. He was saying it sarcastically, that he was critical of what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai had done. That this is an area that was a beis hakvaros, an area that's muchzak bitoma. How could he be metayer it? Amar el mali yisa imanu, vafilu imali lo yisa imanu, vafilu yisa, it depends what el mali means, whether you're goreis the lamed or not, the low or not, rather. Sometimes el mali means if not, sometimes el mali means if yes. But the point is, if you weren't here, vafilu yisa imanu, and even if you were here, velo nimnes imanu, but you didn't join in the process of trying to be matar the area, yafa ata omer, then what you said we would be acceptable. We'd be able to accept your criticism. But now that you were here the entire time, and not only were you here, you were nimnes imanu, you joined with us in trying to figure this out. Rashi points out nimnes hiskamtel daitenu lios min aminyan, you were maskim, you joined in with us. Yomru zonos mefarchus azuazu tamidi chamlo kolshkein. People are going to say that even zonos behave in such a way where they help each other out, they braid each other's hair to make each other look more beautiful. So tamidi chachamim, all the more so, a very strange mashal. What's he trying to say? Why would you compare Talmidei Chachamim to Zonos by saying that the Zonos are mefarches each other and the Talmidei Chachamim should surely be mefarches each other? So the Malo Aroim, and I saw other Achronim, I saw later when I was able to unearth one of my Svarim, other Achronim say this as well, but the Malo Aroim quotes from the Gemara Pesachim in the back of the Gemara. Malo Aroim quotes from the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, that there are Gimel Sonim Zeh Ezeh, that there are three people that hate each other, and then there's a Yeshomrim in the Gemara that Af has Zonos, that Zonos hate each other, and then the Yeshomrim Af Talmidei Chacham Shebebavel, that not only do Zonos hate each other, Talmidei Chacham and Bavel hate each other as well. So you see from that Gemara, from the Lashon of af Talmidei Chachamim Shebavel, that Zonos hate each other more than Talmidei Chachamim. Because the first Yeshomrim held that Talmidei Chachamim don't hate each other, only Zonos hate each other. Then the second Yeshomrim says that even Talmidei Chachamim and his Moda, that Zonos also hate each other. So it's a Kal V'chomer. That's the af. But it's Dafka Talmidei Chachamim Shebavel. But Talmidei Chachamim Shebavel Yisrael does not seem to be that way. The Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin contrasts the nature of Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel with Talmidei Chachamim Eretz Yisrael. Say that Talmidei Chachamim Eretz Yisrael were Noam in Zeb Zeb Halacha. They were very sweet and pleasant with each other in dealings of Halacha. Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel were not quite so pleasant. There was it was a battle with each other when it comes to dealing with Halacha. So he says Zonos Mefarchsin says that Talmidei Chachamim Halachas Kama, especially Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who was in Eretz Yisrael. So he was saying that we have to be even more pleasant than the Zonos are with each other. Why Takar Zonos Mefarchus Azu? Why would they help out the competition? So the different explanations the Achronim have. Some say that in general, people sometimes take a very short-sighted view of competition. They think, for instance, if someone opens up a similar store to them nearby, that it's necessarily going to hurt them. Sometimes it helps them. There's a place in Manhattan called the Diamond District. And if you know that you need a diamond, where do you go? You know where to go, because that's where all the diamond people are. That's where everybody is set up. So does it help or hurt that there are so many people doing the same business in one place? So it could be that it's very helpful, because that becomes the address for that place. So could be that having a supply of Zonos is good for everybody's business, and that's why they're mefarches each other. It doesn't translate well over to Talmidei Chachamim. Why would that help Talmidei Chachamim one way or the other? I don't know, but at least for the Zonos that would make sense. So anyway, Yav Be'enei V'Noch Nafshei. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai looked at this old man who was critical, and the man died. Nafak L'Shuka Chazid LeYehuda Ben Gerim. So then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai went out to the market and he saw Yehuda ben Gerim was there. Remember who Yehuda ben Gerim was? When they initially dealt with the discussion about all that the Romans had accomplished, Yehuda ben Gerim is the one that got the word out and caused the Gezeira in the first place to be made against Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So he saw Yehuda ben Gerim, Amar, Adayin Yesh L'Zeh B'Yolam? You're kidding me, this guy's still around? So Nasan Bo'ena V'Aso Gal Shel Atzamos. So he placed his eyes on him and he turned him into a pile of bones. Meaning, not only did he kill him by looking at him, but he had turned into a pile of bones as he had decomposed almost immediately. Some of the Achronim suggest, Ben Yoyada suggests, that he had to turn him into a pile of bones immediately because he couldn't have made the body recognizable. If the body was recognizable, it's going to be more Alilus Tvarim by the government that they had killed this guy because he had mastered them, and then it would be more Gzeros against Klal Yisrael. So he had to kill him in such a way where he becomes a Gal Shel Atzamos, where they can't even identify, they're not going to be able to identify the guy's remains. We do have this concept elsewhere as well of Gal Shel Atzamos. He says we find that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara says the Kavasa and Shul Rabbi Yirmiyah Vafkumi Be Midrasha the Kashi Kimosa V'chein B'Perek Zabor Afkula Huda Gali Razia, that you do find that Yav Be'ene and in Masech Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Aleph by someone who reveals secrets. That's where the Gemara tells us that even that up until 22 years we learn from Yosef that a person is not supposed to reveal a secret even many years later. So you find this concept, this idea of Gal Shel Atzamos. You have it in Bab Basra, I think in the fifth parak of Bab Basra, when there was a Talmud that had questioned the Rebbe's account of what the stones that are going to be in the entranceway to Yerushalayim, I think it is, La Asad Lavo, and he had questioned whether there exist such amazing things, and then he was traveling by the sea once, and he saw something like this, and he said to the Rebbe, I didn't believe you, but now I see it. So the Rebbe said, what, until now you didn't believe me? And he looked at him and turned him into a Gal Shel Atzamos. You have this concept of Gal Shel Atzamos. Okay, says the Mishnah, Gimel Dvarim Tzarech Adam Lomer B'Sof Be'Sarev Shabbosim Chashecha. There are three things a person is supposed to say inside his home on Erev Shabbos as it's getting dark around Ben Hashemashos time. Number one, Isartem, you should say, Nu, did you take off Maestros? Eravtem, did you make an Erev? And number three, Adlikos Ener, you should light the Ner, you should light Nero Shabbos. So Rashi points out over here, Isartem refers to Peros Ilan L'su'udah Shabbos, Sha'af Achilas Arai Shel Shabbos Kova'as L'Maiser. The halacha is, prior to taking off Trumas and Maestros, you're allowed to eat an Achilas Arai. But Achilas Arai is defined differently during the week than it is on Shabbos. Essentially, on Shabbos, there's no such thing as Achilas Arai. Whenever you eat, it's Onek Shabbos. The Chashivos of the mitzvah of Onek Shabbos turns anything into an Achilas Keva. So as important as it is to separate Maisos in general during the week before any meal, you have to separate Maisos before Shabbos if you want to be able to have any sort of benefit from eating the food. So that's a Sartem. A Ravtem, what's a Ravtem? So Rashi and the Mishnah says it refers to both Eruvei Tchumen v'chatzeros, two completely different types of Erevin. Eruvei Tchumen is a person who wants to be able to go beyond his Tchum Shabbos, more than 2,000 amos outside of his city, so he needs to set up Shtei Seudos at a different location, and that location then becomes his center from which he can go 2,000 amos. Eruvei Chatzeros, just to be able to, there isn't this Rabbanan to carry from one Rishos Sayachet to another Rishos Sayachet, from your house to your Chatzar or to your neighbor's house, and you set up an Eruv to enable that Isser Derabanan to be suspended. To be able to go, it makes it one big Rishos Hayachid, so you're able to go from one Rishos Hayachid to the other Rishos Hayachid. But Rashi points out those first two questions, Isartem, Eravtem, they're Beloshon She'ela. It's a question mark. He said, did you take Maestros? Did you take an Eruv? Did you make an Eruv? But Hadlikvas Ener is not Hidlakta Ner, it's Hadlikvas Ener, it's Beloshon Sivoy. Why isn't it Balashon She'elah, a question? So Rashi says, because just open your eyes and you'll see whether Hidlak did there or not. You're not going to know whether Isartem or Iravtem, but you could. It's something that's clearly discernible. Anyone could see whether they were Madlik or Ner or not. In the Chidushim Aram Bennett, he quotes in Sharm Mitzion Balacha that only by Yechshash Isid Rabbanon you say Balashon She'elah. He explains the difference between Balashon She'elah, Balashon Sivay differently than Rashi. That when the concern is a concern mid Rabbanon, so you could say it nicely in a question, you know, you could say it as if it's not the most urgent thing. Did you do it? Did you not do it? Hadlikvas Haner, you're going to be dealing with the Daraisa, because if the person is going to light Neiros Shabbos too late, they're going to be in violation of a Melacha Daraisa. So they have to say Blashon Tzivoy, quick, no, light Neiros before it's too late and you can't light Neiros. Also, the Achrona point out that after Hadlakas Neiros, the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch is that Hadlakas Neiros serves as our Kabbalah Shabbos. So a person is already Mekabel Shabbos at the time of Hadlakas Neiros. And that's why the Seder Hadvarim is Isartem, Eravtem, and then Hadlikvas Ner. Because once Hadlikvas Ner, you can't be Isartem, Ve'eravtem anymore. Or it could be that all three questions are really about Hadlakas Neiros. It's, I want to remind my wife to light Neiros, so, but in order to do that, I have to make sure everything else is taken care of. So Isartem, did you take care of that? Iravtem, did you take care of that? Okay, good, you took care of those things, and now Hadlikas Ner, so now you can light Neiros. That would explain why you're... why you'd be asking your wife about Isartem and Eravtem. Why is that her job more than it is our job? Why do you have to ask Isartem and Eravtem? You should do it yourself, to be ma'aser and be... So no, it's just to make sure that it was done, or that to verify if it was or was not done, so that Hadlakas Neiros can go on, because Hadlakas Neiros is going to be... Hadlakas Neiros... is going to begin Shabbos. Because after all, Isartem, Eravtem, we have a concept, mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucho. Person should do these mitzvahs himself. Why should his wife have to do these mitzvahs? If he has the ability to do it, he should try to take care of it. He should try to take care of it himself. So that's probably just making sure to see that things were done, and if not, that you will do it in order to pave the way for Hadlakas Neiros. The tour in Archaim Simreish Samach quotes from Ram Rutenberg that he wouldn't say Eravtem, because we don't have Meiser anymore. So he would say instead of Isartem, Hifrashtem Chala, or Yemafresh Chala, which really opens up a question of why it is that the Mishnah doesn't say that. You would think of the things that have to be taken care of before Shabbos, it could be that this is so close to Shabbos that it's a little late to be Mafresh Chala. You're supposed to be Mafresh Chala when it's Issa, when it's still in its dough state, and then you bake it. So it's a little late to be baking the dough at this point. But in Shulchan Aruch, in Archaim, in Reish Samach, Siv Beis, Shulchan Aruch says, you should be Shol, your Anche Beiso, Beloshon Racha, Isartem, Eravtem, Hefrashtem Chala. Shulchan Aruch adds in, Hefrashtem Chala is one of the questions based on Maram Rutenberg. So we do see that somehow made it in at some point. So those are the three questions that a person is supposed to ask. Says the Mishnah, second half of the Mishnah, Safik Chashecha, Safik Enu Chashecha. When you're not, when it's Safik, whether it's Yom or Laila, whether it's dark or not dark out, Ein Ma'asrna Savada. It's too late to take off Maestros from Tevel Gamor, from something that's absolute Tevel. Ve'in Madbilim Esakelim. It's too late to do Tfilas Kelim. Ve'in Madlikin Esaneros. And it's too late to light Shabbos candles. Avul Ma'asrna Sadamai. But during this Bein Hashmashos period, and this is why we're going to be led right into the Sugya on Amud Beis about what is Bein Hashmashos. When is Bein HaShemashos, but during that Bein HaShemashos period, you can still take maestros from Demai, produce that you buy from an Ama Aretz that you don't know if he had taken maestros from, even though Rov Ama Aretz do take maestros, we're choshish for the miyot that don't, the Chum were choshish for the miyot that don't, and require us to be mafresh Demai. Uma Arvin, you could still make an Eruv. Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to ask, we just said that Im Chashecha, you're supposed to ask a Ravtem before it's a Safik, and now we're saying, nah, even if it's already Bein HaShemashos, it's okay, you could still make an Eruv. So the Gemara is going to ask the Stira, is it something that needs to be taken care of before Bein HaShemashos, or can it be taken care of during Bein HaShemashos? And the Tomna Sechamin, you're allowed to do Hatmana still during Bein HaShemashos. All of those activities are mutter during Bein HaShemashos. Now the Lashon, Safik Chashecha, Safik Eino Chashecha, the Malawa Rolim, again in the back of the Gemara says, Yesh Ledayik, it seems to be Meusar, the language seems to be, just Safik Chashecha. If you tell me it's a suffix whether it's dark, I could figure out that the other half of the suffix is that it might not be dark. So what's suffix chashecha? Suffix eina chashecha. So he says, Tzarech lomar, dezekai'a motso'e Shabbos. V'achi kamar. What it means to say is as follows. Suffix chashecha be'erev Shabbos. Misafkinan le'asar shami chashecha. Suffix chashecha means it might already be Shabbos talking on Friday. And ubu motso'e Shabbos misafkinan le'asar shameina chashecha. Suffix eina chashecha means, and it's Motzai Shabbos, and you're not yet sure, it might not be dark yet, and therefore you're going to have to be Machmir. However, he points out, there is a Magen Avram in Simen Shinmen Beis, who says that Safik Bein HaShemashos of Motzai Shabbos is more chamur than the Bein HaShemashos of Erev Shabbos, because you have a Cheskas Shabbos already on Motzai Shabbos, when you're in Bein HaShemashos of Motzai Shabbos. So it would be more Machmir in the Safik HaShecha of Motzai Shabbos. So if that's the case, once it says Safik HaShecha, we have to have all these chumers of Ein Ma'asrin, then Kol Shekein Safik Eino HaShecha of the Motzai Shabbos, we should have these chumers. It would be an obvious point. So it could be Zu Vein Tzorech Lomar Zu, the Mishnayos are often written in that way, but he says, V'yesh Lomar, maybe you could say, Diavatani Safik Chashecha luchud. Maybe if it just said Safik Chashecha, we would think that's talking about only Motzai Shabbos. Only when we have the double lashon do we realize that it's talking about both Erev Shabbos and Motzai Shabbos. Or it could just be that we mention it because of the Sefer. The Sefer tells us kulas, that you're allowed, things that you're allowed to do during Bein HaShemashos. So that's why Safik Eino Chashecha comes second, because it's an extra chiddush that even in the Bein HaShemashos of Motzai Shabbos, you could be mafrish demai and things and be ma'arev and tomin es achamin, the items that you're allowed to do. So that's why it's Safek Eino Chashecha. Okay, says the Gemara, Minani Mili. How do I know that you're supposed to ask your wife or supposed to tell your wife to light candles before Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amar Kra, V'yadata ki shalom ha'alechu v'kadata ha'navcha v'lo sechta. You want to know that there's shalom, meaning the neros are for shalom bayis, so you should command your household, and that way you won't come to sin. Amar Rabbi Baravuna, Afal Gav Domar Rabban, Shoshu Dvarim Tzar, even though we say there are three things that a person has to say, you're supposed to say these things in a gentle way, so that they'll be more easily accepted. It's not only about these three things, it's about anything. When a person says things in a gentle manner, so then they're more likely to be listened to. So these things have to be said not in a threatening way, particularly when dealing with a wife. It's very critical to say things binichusa. You have to say it so that in a kind way, not at all in a threatening way. The Gemara in Maseches Gittin derives this from the story of Pilegesh Begiva, that a person should not be matil ema yisera b'soch beso, that you shouldn't have a situation where people are fearful of you in your household. The Gemara says it leads to all sorts of terrible things. If there's a threatening environment in the house, it leads to you being to people being mechal Shabbos, because if your wife didn't finish cooking before Shabbos and she knows you come home from shul, and what's going to be if not every kugel is exactly the way you like it, so she's going to continue to cook into Shabbos. It will lead to all sorts. It leads to a violation of Nida, the Gemara says. How does it lead to violation of Nida? Because if it's freezing freezing cold, and in the lake where they would they go to the mikveh, or the ocean where they would go to the mikveh, and it was too cold to go in. But she doesn't want to be able to. She doesn't want to tell you that she didn't go to the mikveh because of what the husband, how the husband is going to react. There's that Ema Yaseira, so she'll lie and she'll say she went to the mikveh. If all these Ema Yaseira is not a good way to accomplish things. So the Gemara mentions in that context this Mishnah and this idea of Tzarech Lemimrinu B'Nichusa that we need to speak gently. Amar Ravashi, so Ravashi says Anan Lo Shmiya Li Had Rabba Bar Rav Huna V'Kiyamti Misvari, says I never heard Rabba Bar Rav Huna's statement before. I never received that tradition, but you know what? I was able to figure out all on my own that you're supposed to speak nicely. And that if you speak nicely, it's a better way to get things done. Rav Shefta tells the Maisa with the Chazanish that someone that was a Kol guy that went to the Chazanish said, I don't understand. Every single Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, I say in the softest, nicest way, Yisarte, Miravte, Madlik Vasaner, and I still don't have Shalom Bayis. My wife still gets so upset at me every Erev Shabbos. So the Chazanish said, maybe describe what's going on in the house. Like, well, what's happening at the time? He says, well, you know, we have 12 children, and 7 of them are punching and kicking each other. 5 of them are in the bath, and this one's, you know, doing that, and everyone's doing something else. And I want to go and do my achanas for Shabbos, so I say, and I walk out. He said, no, the point is not just to say the magic words. It's not magic words. It's using common sense. Kiyamte misvara. You have to have a little bit of seichel first. You have to have a little bit of das first. So, Hagufa Kasha. Now we pointed out in the Mishnah that we're going to ask this Kasha. There seems to be a steer in the Mishnah. We said that there are 3 things a person is supposed to say on Erev Shabbos. Im chashecha, in savi chashecha, savigenu chashecha lo, which means before it gets dark, but once it's already a suffix, whether it's dark, once it's already ben ashmashos, it's too late. And one of those things is that you have to take care of the eruv, vahadar tani, savi chashecha, savigenu chashecha ma'arev. And then it says that if you're not sure, if it's still ben, if it's already ben ashmashos, it's not too late, you could still make an eruv. So says the Gemara to answer this question, before we give the answer, the Gemara gives a simin begufei zim. So this simon perplexes a lot of the achronim. What exactly it's a simon to? There's only normally when you have a simon after a question, it's a simon to the various answers we're going to have to the question. There is only one answer in this Gemara to the question. So the Maritz Chiz has a long discussion over here about what the simon is really about. He quotes from a Shlach Kadosh. First, the Shlach Kadosh talks about the meaning of simanim and how you shouldn't just skip over simanim. Simanim means something. It's not just it's not always a simple mnemonic, but essentially at the end of the day, what it seems to be is this is a siman of the various statements of this Amora, Rabbi Abba, that comes up throughout this Masechta. So they're all over the place. You're not going to find them all here. There's Daf Ayin Gimel and Daf Kuf Zayin, all the Daf Kuf Chav Dalit, all the different statements that he makes throughout the Masechta. Maritz Chayes just points out it doesn't really get everything, because Yesh L'Sar D'Nimtza Od B'Makom Echad Kupa Muta Al Tzida Amor Rabbi Abba Amor Rav Chaim Rashi Amor Rav. We find in Daf Nun Amid Beis one time that the same Amora speaks. That's not mentioned. To again, that's Maritz Chayes we've seen many times already, very sensitive to the names of the Amoraim and who said what in different parts of Shas. So so he says it seems to be somewhat of an incomplete simon. Okay, Akasha. So anyway, what's the teretz though over here that we have the steer in the Mishnah? Are you allowed to still make an Erev Ben Ashmash or not? So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav, Lo Kasha, Kan Be Ruvei Tchumin, Kan Be Ruvei Chatzeros. It depends whether you're dealing with Erev Tchumin or Erev Chatzeros. Great, it depends. Which one is which? Which one are you allowed to do Ben Ashmashos, which one not? So Rashi says, Erev Tchumin, Tikun Ma'alya. By Erev Tchumin, you really need to do it right. Asmuchor Rabban Tchumin Akrai. Because Tchumin, even if Tchumin themselves are not Daraisa, which is a machlokas, whether Tchumin are Daraisa or not, even if it's not Daraisa, it's at least an asmachta. There's an asmachta on a pasuk about Tchumin. As opposed to, Eruvei Chatzeros is purely Midrabanan. Rashi calls it Chumra Bialmahu. It's purely a din Midrabanan, and therefore we're going to be more makil when it comes to Eruvei Chatzeros. So Rashi says, yeah, Eruvei Chatzeros you can still do during Ben Hashmashos. Eruvei Tchumin you can't because it's based on asmachta. This highlights the point that the Prima Gada makes in his Psicha Kolalas, that we often think of things incorrectly. We think of Yisurim Darabanan and Yisurim Daraisa, but there are really many, many more categories aside from just Yisurim Darabanan and Yisurim Daraisa. Within Yisurim Darabanan, there are higher level Darabanans and lower level Darabanans. And you see, Rashi is telling us, even if Tchumin is Darabanan, if there's an Asmachta, that makes it a higher level Darabanan. If there's no Asmachta, Asmacht, it's a lower level, the Rabbanan. Even within Daraisas, you have Daraisa that's Mefurish Bekra, which is a higher level Daraisa to the extent that the Rabbanan aren't even allowed to make Gezeros Takanas that go against it. And there are Daraisas that are not Mefurish Bekra, where the Rabbanan are allowed to suspend them. So this, you see, is Shitas Rashi. It seems to be against the Shita of the Rambam, because the Rambam holds Asmachta doesn't really mean anything. The Rambam says Asmachta is only a mnemonic. It's a simple way to remember things, but it's not really reflective of a deeper halacha necessarily. Whereas the Ritva, Rashi, seem to disagree. Anyway, that's how Rashi understands. Tosos quotes that Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi, but Meikara Hayim Mefarish Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam first thought to say the other way, that Eruvei Chatzeros are more chamor. Why would he think that? Because the halacha by Eruvei Chatzeros is you have to use bread for Eruvei Chatzeros. We use matzah to make our Eruv Chatzeros. But Eruvei Tchum, you could be ma'ariv b'kol davar except for mayim u'melech. You could use anything except for water and salt. So that seems to indicate that Eruvei Tchum is something we're going to be more makel with. That's what Rabbeinu Tam thought to say. Then Rabbeinu Tam realized that that halacha holds true even if you hold Eruvei Tchum is daraisa and Eruvei Chatzeros are derabanan. Are obviously derabanan. So you're not going to tell me that if you hold Eruvei Tchum or daraisa and Eruvei Chatzeros are derabanan, that Eruvei Tchum are less strict than Eruvei Chatzeros. So obviously what you're allowed to use is not a reflection of how strict a halacha it is, and that's why Rabbeinu Tam ultimately agrees with Rashi. Okay, now the Gemara is going to quote three different statements of Rava, not really relating to anything. It's just the first one is about Erevin. So says the Gemara, V'amar Rava. Rava says as follows: Amar lo shnayim seva areva leinu le'echad yirev alav mibod yom le'echad yirev alav ben hashmashos. Let's say two people ask you to make an erev for them. One of them you make an erev for when it's still daytime, when it's still Friday. The other one you make an erev for during ben hashmashos. So zesh yirev alav mibod yom ne'echad yirev alav ben hashmashos. And let's say the Erev that you put out there, the Erev Tchumen that you put out there for the person, but mi ba'od yom, got eaten during Ben HaShemashos. The halacha is in order for the Erev to take effect. When Shabbos starts, it still needs to be there. It doesn't need to be there the entire Shabbos, but it needs to at least be there when Shabbos starts in order to be Kona Shvisa for the person. So the Erev that you put there, Mibod Yom, got eaten during Ben HaShemashos, which means you don't know if it was there when Shabbos started. It got eaten during the Zman of Safek. V'zesh Yirev Elav Ben HaShemashos, Nechal Erev Mishech HaShecha. The one that you set up an Erev for during Ben HaShemashos, his Erev got eaten after it already got dark. So Shneim, but you don't know if you got the Erev out there in time, because you only put the Erev out there during Ben HaShemashos. Shneim kana Erev. The halach is, the Erev works for both of them. Manav Shach. So it says, well, why? Why does that make sense? I mean, Manav Shach, one of them should be no good. Excuse me. E Ben HaShemashos yimamahu basra likni kamalo likni. If Ben HaShemashos is during the daytime, so let the second guy be konen Erev, and the first guy won't be konen Erev. V Ben HaShemashos lelehu. And if Ben HaShemashos is during the nighttime, Kamalikni, Basulolikni, then the first guy should have been Kona the Erev, because his Erev was there already at daytime and only got eaten at nighttime. But Basulolikni, the second guy whose Erev you only put out there during Ben HaShemashos, should not have been Kona an Erev. Answers Gemara, Ben HaShemashos Sveikahu, Usveik Drabban and Lakula. Ben HaShemashos is Safek, and Safek Drabban and Lakula, and that's why you're allowed to be makel in both directions. So it's a problematic answer that the Gemara has. When the Gemara asks the question about this halacha, did the Gemara not yet realize that Ben HaShemashos is a safek? Meaning, what was the chiddush in the answer that we didn't already know in the kasha? The Meloa Roim in the back of the Gemara says that even if you say safek drabanan lekula, the chiddush of the Gemara is that this is not called trekuli desasri adadi. Generally speaking, even when we do apply safek drabanan lekula, you can't make it ridiculous. You can't have two kulas that are a clear contradiction to each other applied to the same person. So you might have thought that this is that kind of case, because I put out the Eruv for both of these people, so one of them should be good, one of them shouldn't. Otherwise, you know, it looks like a joke to me. But the Gemara's answer is no. One is for that person, one is for that person. If they were both for me, that would be a joke. If they were both somehow for one person, that would be something that you wouldn't be able to rely on. For instance, if you, he says, I think he gives a case. No, he doesn't. Okay, yeah, he says La Adam Ech Lo Meklin Trei Kula Desasriya Dadi Kigon Beinichu Erev Bein Hashmashos Ye Mutal Lechas Dalar Alafim Lamakom Eruva Mitzad Acheres Shal Beisul Yel Gamkin Dalar Alafim. Yeah, I can't put two Eruvim for me, one on the east side of town, one on the west side of town, and then go 4,000 amos in each direction. That would be ridiculous because that's obviously wrong. So that you're not allowed to do. That's the. But what else? Maritz Chaya says no. Maybe the Chiddush is like this. We thought that we don't know what Bein Hashmashos is. It's either Yom or it's Laila. We're going to see on Amud Beis, there's a third possibility. It's part Yom and part Laila. And that alone makes it that it's not a joke, that it doesn't look ridiculous to be making in both directions. Because to say that one of the Erevin was set up during Bein HaShemashos, and we count that as day, and the other one we count as night, the Bein HaShemashos we count as night, is not so ridiculous, because there are parts of Bein HaShemashos that are day, and there are parts of Bein HaShemashos that are night. So that might be the Chiddush, says Maritz Chayes. Okay, second statement of Rava. Rava Amrimah Amruein Tom Vedavar Shein Amos Vavel Mich Shecha. Why is it that we don't do hatmana with something? You can't insulate something in a material that doesn't add any heat once Shabbos already begins. So gzeres shamir tiach, we're afraid you're going to realize that the pot's not so hot anymore, and you're going to want to boil it up. Amar le Abayi hachi ben hashmashos nami nigzer. So why don't we make that gzera during ben hashmashos? Our mission says you're still allowed to be matmin during ben hashmashos. So amar le stam gzeres rodchel sein. Yeah, during ben hashmashos the pot is still hot, so we're not worried that you're going to want to boil it up just because you are insulating it. Via Rava, third statement of Rava relates to Atmana. Why do we say that you're not allowed to be matman with something that's Mosif Hevel? The Mosif Hevel is a tricky concept. Mosif Hevel does not necessarily mean that you're adding a heat source around the pot. That's what the classic Mosif Hevel is. You use coals that actually add heat to the pot. It could be anything that you add, that you put around the pot that will cause it to reach a temperature that it otherwise would not have reached, which doesn't necessarily mean that it actually adds heat. Meaning, if I wrap a towel around the pot and then put the pot on the blech, so the towel isn't hot necessarily, but it will allow the pot to reach a temperature that it otherwise would not have reached. So why is it that you're not allowed to be tomin b'davar mosav evel even mibodiyom? It's very important l'maisa, because if you let's say you wrap your urn totally insulated in something, so that in a towel or something, so that's not actually a heat source that you're wrapping it in, but the water in the urn will get hotter because of the fact that it's there. They used to sell urn covers that said the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, that you would zip and would fit perfectly around the urn. Rabbi Willig used to always comment it should say the Chil Shabbos Kodesh, because even by doing it on Erev Shabbos, that's Hatmana B'davar HaMosav Hevel. So why is it that you can't be Tomein B'davar HaMosav Hevel V'afilu Mibod Yom? Because we're afraid you're going to be matmin with coals that have live embers. Amalei Abayi v'yatmin. So Abayi says, so what? Big deal. What's the problem with that? Gzeira shem yichatu b'gachal. No, we're afraid you're going to stoke the coals and violate the melacha of havara. Tana Rabbana. Now here we get to the Bein HaShemashos sugya. Obviously, in 7 minutes or whatever it is that we have, there's only so much you could do about Bein HaShemashos, but let's see. Tana Rabbana, Bein HaShemashos, Savik min hayom min halayla, Savik kulo min hayom, Savik kulo min halayla. Three possibilities. It's either part day, part night, or it's entirely daytime, or it's entirely nighttime, this Bein HaShemashos period. And we give it the chumras of both the preceding day and the coming day. What is Bein HaShemashos? Three opinions in Tanaim. First opinion, Mishatishka Achama calls Manchapne Mizrach Ma'adimin. From when the sun sets, as long as the eastern side of the sky, which is the opposite side of the sky of where the sun is setting, the eastern side of the sky is still red. That's Bein HaShemashos. Hichsev Atachtum Velo Hichsev Ha'elyon. If the bottom part of the sky is dark and the top part of the sky is still light, Bein HaShemashos. That's still Bein HaShemashos. Once the top part of the sky already becomes dark, obviously the eastern part of the sky is going to become dark before the top part of the sky will become dark, because the sun is setting in the west. So if the top part of the sky has also become dark, just like the bottom part, Zehu Laila. That's you're already in Laila territory. That's definitely considered to be Laila. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, Parakei Halacha Dalit, says Mishatishka Chama Ache Yiru Gimel Kochavim Beinonim, till you see three medium-sized stars. So the Meiri writes that probably seeing three medium-sized stars is Hichsev Elyon, is the same thing as Hichsev Elyon. He's just giving a different observable phenomena for when is Vaday Laila. Anyway, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, second sheet of when Ben Hashemash says, Kadeshi Alech Adam Mishatishka Achama Chatzi Mil. The amount of time it takes an average person to walk a half a meal from when the sun sets. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ben Hashemashos Karef Ayin. Zen Nichnas V'Zeh Yotzei. Rabbi Yossi says, no, there is no extended period of Ben Hashemashos. It's the blink of an eye. This day comes in and that day comes out, meaning it should be Zeh Yotzei V'Zeh Nichnas. But the point is, you can't pinpoint the moment. So by the time you think you hit Ben Hashemashos, you're ready at the next day. So that's the lashon. Zen Nichnas V'Zeh Yotzei. V'yev Shalom Adolav. There's no way to figure it out. Amar Mar. So we said one of the things about Ben Hashemashos is we give it the chumras of both days. So what do you mean the chumras of both days? If you want to tell me that it's Safek day, Safek night, so I understand. On Motzai Shabbos, chumras of Shabbos. There's no chumra of Motzai Shabbos. What do you mean chumras of both days? When do you have both days having a chumra? You do have it in regards to Tumma. The halach is by a zav, not a zava, by a zav. If a zav sees two re'eos, he becomes tame, where he's going to require he's going to require 7 clean days. He's going to become tame for a minimum of 7 days. If he sees three re'eos, he's going to be chayv a karban. Now zav can become tame by re'eos or by yamim. He could by seeing ziva multiple times, or seeing Ziva on consecutive days. But if a Zav only sees one Re'i, he only has Tumah of a Balkari, and which is a one-day Tumah, and if his Re'ios are, he has sees on Sunday, and then doesn't see again till Tuesday, also, it's like he became a Balkari twice. He's not a Zav. What if he sees Sunday evening Ben Hashemashos and Monday evening Ben Hashemashos? So you have all these possibilities. First Ben Hashemashos may have been Sunday. Second one may have already been Tuesday. So he doesn't even have the full Tum of a Zav. Or it could be both Ben Hashemashos were daytime, so it was Sunday and Monday. Or it could be both Ben Hashemashos were nighttime, so he actually saw Monday and Tuesday. If those possibilities are correct, then he has Tumma, but he's not Chayav a Karban because only two Re'ios. Or it could be that the first Ben Hashemashos was really Sunday. Second Ben Hashemashos, he saw overlapping Monday and Tuesday. So then he saw Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He's chayv a karban. So what do we do with such a case? Machmir. We're Savik L'tumah L'karban, give the chumras in both directions. Ra Yom Echad Ben Hashemashos, Savik L'tumah. If he saw one day Ben Hashemashos, so we assume that he saw twice. That it's as if he saw 2 days. So he's Tameh for 7 days. Hagu V'kasha. But in terms of defining Ben Hashemashos, the Gemara now tries to go back to Rabbi Yehuda's Shita and figure out what he meant. We said, what's Ben Hashemashos? From the time the sun sets, as long as the eastern part of the sky is still red. That implies that if the bottom part of the sky has already become dark, that's already nighttime. But then his very next words are, that if the bottom part of the sky becomes dark, it's still Ben Hashemashos. So which is it? Is Ben Hashemashos when the bottom part of the sky is red, or when the bottom part of the sky is dark? So Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kroch V'Tani. You have to wrap it all together and learn it as one statement. Ezu Ben Hashemashos, what's Ben Hashemashos? Mishetishka Achama Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin. When the sun sets, so long as the bottom part of the sky is still red, V'Hichsev Etachtim Lo Yichsev Elyon, Nami Ben Hashemashos. And even when the bottom part of the sky is dark, that's also called Ben Hashemashos, all included in Ben Hashemashos. Hichsev Elyon V'Hishvel Etachton Laila. But once the top part of the sky also becomes dark, okay, that's already nighttime. Rav Yosef, so that is the sheet of Rabba's understanding of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Hachi Ketani, Mishetishka Achama Kol Zman Shepnei Mizrach Ma'adimin Yom. No, when the bottom part of the sky is red, that's not yet Ben Hashemashos, meaning after the sun has set, it's still Vada Yom. It's not yet Ben Hashemashos when the bottom part of the sky is red. Hichsev Atachton Velo Hichsev Elyon, Ben Hashemashos, the bottom part of the sky becomes dark and not the top part of the sky, that's Ben Hashemashos. When the top part of the sky also becomes dark, then it becomes nighttime. And these two shitos in understanding Rabbi Yehuda are lishi tasam. In terms of the length of Bein HaShemashos, Rabbah gives a longer period of Bein HaShemashos because he thinks Bein HaShemashos starts as soon as the sun sets, and when the sky is red, it's already Bein HaShemashos. Whereas Rav Yosef thinks, no, Bein HaShemashos has a little bit of a later start. So they both give it the same end time. So they both go lishi tasam. The Itmar, Shir Bein HaShemashos Bekama, how long does Bein HaShemashos last in Rav Yehuda's point of view? Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shlosha Chelke Meal. Three portions of a meal. So my Gimel Chelke Meal, what do you mean three portions of a meal? Ile Matasa Palge Mila, if it means three halves of a meal, name a meal a Mechza. No, three halves is one and a half. You don't say three portions. El Tlase Tilsa Mila, name a meal. It can't mean three thirds of a meal, because then you would just say a meal. El Tlase Rive Mila, must be three quarters of a meal. So that's how long Ben Ashrach is according to Rabba, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Shnei Chelke Meal. It's two portions of a meal. My shnei chelke meal, what do you mean two portions of a meal? Ile mitre palge mila lema meal. If it means two halves, well, that's a meal. Velitre rivi mila lema chatzi meal. If it's two quarters, then you would just say a half a meal. Ela tre tilsi mila. It must be that it's two thirds of a meal. So you see that Rav Yosef's definition of Bein HaShemashos is a shorter period of time. It's two thirds of a meal, not three quarters of a meal. My benai, what's the difference between two thirds and three quarters? You can benai palga dedanka. Is 1/12, a half of a sixth. Is 1/12 of a meal, but there is some sort of difference. Tulsa over here, this is the famous Tulsa, raises the kasha. That in Maseches Pesachim, the same Rabbi Yehuda seems to hold that Bein HaShemashos lasts for four milin, not three quarters of a meal, a lot more than three quarters of a meal, four milin. So he says that's where Rabbeinu Tam is Mechadesh, that we're counting from different points. That in Pesachim it's talking from what we call sunset. Over here it's talking from Sof Shkia, which is a much later point in time than what we would normally refer to as sunset. But Seisach Chavim is going to be four milin after what we call sunset, and that's the Chumra of Rabbeinu Tam that we know in terms of keeping Shabbos later. Okay. Right. Hope my father